Hey everyone, and welcome to Passionate and Practical, the art of dreaming, doing, and serving. I'm your host, Lexi, and today is a bonus episode all about you. It's about who you are in your identity and who you were before you were a wife, who you were before you were a mama and a homeowner and a career person. So I kind of want to just dive right in to talk about some of these topics and hopefully encourage you that if you feel like when you became a wife that you kind of backed off of some of your passions or some of what you felt called to do because you felt like it needed to take a back seat, I want to kind of resurface some of these things and hopefully encourage you to take some steps towards following your passion. And most importantly, I say passion, but what's even deeper than that is your purpose and your calling that's been placed on you before you were born. So it sounds a little heavy, but it's also a lot easier to figure out your purpose rather than just chasing the world's version of what you should do, because we lean into Jesus and then he responds with what we are called to do, which is incredible. And the more we know him, the more we know who we are, because we know whose we are. And so I want to just dive right in. A couple months ago, I was having a chat with my sister, and she's so wise. She's my baby sister, but she was just talking to me about some of the things that I was frustrated with in marriage and how I could take it upon myself to actually improve some of the things that I was frustrated about. And honestly, it was such silly things. Like, I wanted to be more spontaneous and adventurous, and I wanted to go on some fancier, you know, date nights, because I'm a foodie and I love eating fancy food. It's the hoity-toityest thing about me, but I'm not a big shopper. I'm not into jewelry. So that's the one thing that I always say is that's the thing that makes me, I guess, you know, ritzy, but I'm not, I promise. And I hope y'all know that by now, but I was just saying, you know, I just love good food. I love going out and I love adventure, and I feel like that's been lacking. And so she said, "Lex, why don't you just go do that with your girlfriends, or go do that with yourself, or ask Blake, and I'm sure he'd be interested in doing that with you." And sure enough, that's all it took. And I think I was waiting for him to be the knight in shining armor that was like, "I want to take you on this fancy date, honey." And I was like, that's really not happening. And I was just getting frustrated. And sure enough, all I had to do was mention it. And of course he was down, and it was awesome. And so all that being said, this is just an encouragement to you that if you feel like some of the parts of you have kind of taken a back burner, or you're like, "Where did that girl go? When I was 18, I was this, this, and this. I was the life of the party. I was, you know, president of my sorority," whatever your thing was that you feel like is no longer, I want to challenge you to bring that part back. But with, you know, with the wisdom and with the experience that you now have. So it's kind of like the better version of the girl that you think is so cool. So do you feel like she's gone? That's the question. Do you feel like she's gone or she disappeared? Because I know that she's still in there. And I believe that the things that used to light you up, maybe if it was concerts and, music festivals, and you have a lot of little ones right now, maybe that's not realistic to be able to do this year. But I often say we can have it all. We just can't have it all at once. And so yes, when we're starting a family, there is something about our dreams and some of the things that we want to do taking a back seat, but we definitely cannot take it. Like if we're talking about let's talk about a back burner, okay? So there's four burners on the oven or the stove, and you're at one point you had the biggest pot with your passions, and then you got married and you moved it to a medium-sized pot, and then you had kids and you moved it to a small pot. That's fine. Just don't take it off the burners and just let it go and turn into lukewarm water. So I just made that up right now, and I have no idea if that makes sense, but for me it did. I'm pregnant. Just give me grace. Anyways, I believe she's still in there. So the things that used to fire you up, I do think that there is something amazing about your specific passions and your specific calling. And so I just want to encourage you. So for me, transition in marriage looked a lot like the day I went to change out my social security card at the office. And I gave them my old one that said Alexa Nicole Bouchard, which is my maiden name. And I gave it to them and they held it up. And it was way more dramatic to me than it was for them. I'm going to shred this now, okay? And I was like, oh no. And I didn't realize that I had that attachment to my identity of who I used to be, because I knew that this was a new chapter and a new season. And so I hadn't heard people talk about that. So I was like, am I weird? Is this weird that I'm having a hard time? I always wanted to have a new last name. I always wanted to be a wife. But now that it's happening, I'm kind of scared. And so I want to tell you, if you're in that season, it's completely normal. And I was having a chat with someone who's newly married. And she was kind of asking some of these questions, like, what does it look like to still be me, but also respect my husband, who is a little bit more reserved and I'm a little bit more opinionated, and how do we navigate that? And I don't think that there's an easy answer, so I can't tell you that I have all the answers for you. But what I do think is that your husband married you because he fell in love with you. He didn't fall in love with the wife version of you. And if he did, he got it wrong, because there's no way that someone's potential when they're dating is going to be exactly what happens when they're an actual spouse. It's just not the reality. But if you're true to who you are and your character, and you don't change who you've always been, and if you're outgoing and say opinionated things like I always have, my husband was not surprised when we got married and I was still doing that, you know? Like, there's some ways that I've tamed it down and I've learned to have more tact, and I'm super thankful I'm married to him because he teaches me tact. But ultimately, it is whatever I think that they fell in love with when you were dating is what they're still going to be in love with today, and just the matured version of that, obviously, and the wiser version of that. So that's hopefully an encouragement if you are newly-ish married. And for motherhood, the transition for me was feeling like a milk machine. Honestly, I felt like, goodness gracious, is my body just not my body anymore? And that's kind of a weird transition for a lot of women, to feel like, gosh, like this child really needs me, and it's really beautiful and it's really miraculous, but it's also a lot of work. And I ate like a growing teenage boy when I was breastfeeding. I mean, let's just be honest. I eat like a growing teenage boy when I'm not pregnant, when I'm not nursing, but it's just like really extra amplified. So, I just felt kind of like, wow, I'm a wife and a mom, and I have wife duties and I have motherhood duties. And where does self-care for me come in? Where do I take a shower or brush my teeth and these things? And so as I kind of got into motherhood a little bit and being a wife a little bit, instead of asking myself, what does it look like to be a mother in society standards, I started asking myself, what does it look like to be Lexi as a mom? And then it allowed me to still be me and just add the other person. And so there's definitely times where we die to self and we are selfless and we choose to serve even when it is not within our character scope or is not within our strengths. But overall, I do feel like it's been a lot easier for me to be a mom without that pressure of this is the checklist of what perfect motherhood looks like. And so take yourself out of that equation and just ask yourself, what does it look like to be a healthy mama apart from the world standards? For me, one of those things was sleep training. That went out the window, and I'm a co-sleeper, and I'm a proud co-sleeper, and me and my husband love it. It works for us, and it's not for everybody, but for me, that was one of those things that's like, instead of saying, world, what do you say? Because the world says, get them on a schedule and this, and I'm just not a scheduled person, and honestly, that stressed me out to be a super scheduled person. So do what works for you and give yourself grace in the process of figuring it out. And maybe with the first kid, you do something, and then the second kid, you do something completely different. I'll let you know in a couple months. But I'm signing off to Instagram because it's almost at 10 minutes for the Instagram TV. So catch the full episode at YouTube or Spotify or iTunes podcast. So as we kind of move through this, let me be more efficient in my timing. So yes, those things, when you're a homeowner, you talk about, you know, your big thing that is maybe a transition for you is like, do we pay to fix this thing, this leak in our toilet, or do we go on our Cabo vacation that we go to every year? And those are just some things that it's tough, but you have to make those decisions and you got to figure it out. But ultimately, it's just about kind of figuring out what your new norm and being okay that there is a new norm and that you can't, like I said, you can do all things, just not all at once. So maybe it's instead of every year, it's every 18 months, or you just flex as needed. But don't let that part of you that was a part of who you are, if you do the same vacation every year, I think it would be really hard to distance yourself from that. So, and maybe it went from Cabo to the Florida Keys or something a little bit cheaper than that. So it's just all about being flexible and still remaining to be who you are while also flexing to the things that happen in life. So it's kind of a delicate balance, but, the next thing is, what fires you up? What is that thing that maybe not now because you're, you know, in the thick of it? What's the thing that fires you up? What's the thing that keeps you up at night and you can't stop thinking about? Those are the things that oftentimes point us to our calling and what God has for us. And what do people say you're good at? For me, hospitality is this natural gift that God has given me that I don't really have to work hard at. Of course, it takes work, but it doesn't feel like work to me because I love it so much. I love hosting people in my home. I love having people over for dinner. Blake and I, when we first got married, started doing weekly pizza nights, and we would just have anybody and everybody, if we met them for the first time or they were good pals of ours, we would just invite them to make homemade pizza with us. And of course, I had gluten-free crust, but it was just such a fun season of life opening our doors. So what's that thing that comes so easy to you, but is kingdom-minded and is gives the ability to serve others? And so, and then lastly, yes, like what comes easy to you? And as I always talk about, what makes you unique? What are your gifts, your skills, your talents? But even a deeper layer than that is your experience, your trials, and your pain. So sometimes the very things that we've walked through, maybe you're a mama that had a miscarriage, and now you're able to minister to other women who have also had miscarriages. There's something so beautiful and so incredible about the words "Me Too." I think it's the two most the strongest and most powerful words in the Christian language and in relationships. It's just being able to say "Me Too," or if we haven't walked that walk, saying "I'm with you." But in this situation, as I'm talking about your story, what is that thing that you went through that you now are encouraged and spurred on to help others either overcome or walk through? And there is this awesome quote that says, don't ask what the world needs. Instead, ask what makes you come alive and do that, because the world needs more people who are alive. So in short, the world isn't looking for you to fulfill a purpose that the world has a need of, but the world does need more people who are alive. And so be joyful in what you do. Be a light. Be someone who is countercultural in the way that you handle things that come your way. That will speak volumes. And honestly, that will point people to Jesus. So my challenge to you today, it's simple. Do something today that scares you. If you want to start an Etsy shop, go to Michael's or Joann Fabrics or whatever the craft store is, get your supplies and put some pictures online. I'm all about launch and then perfect. When I started Airbnb, I had 2 beds. I didn't have hardly any money, but I knew I had sheets and I had covers, and that is what I worked with, and I priced accordingly. And now me and my husband have almost 700 100 Airbnb reviews, and it's incredible that this little dream and desire in my heart to own a bed and breakfast is now something that I get to do almost full time. And we currently have 3 Airbnbs, going down to 2, and it's just been such a fun season. And so what is that thing that you want to do? Challenge yourself to do something today, whether it's making a phone call to someone who offered to mentor you in business, or if it's just getting a membership to the zoo for your kids, but it's secretly something you really want to do. Do something for you that makes you come alive. And then finally, make a list of what was true about that person that you think is the best version of yourself. Maybe it's when you were 18 and in college and you were this, this, and this, or maybe it was when you were 25. Make a list of who that girl is and what she's all about, what brings her joy. And if it's something like taking a tub, you know, taking a tub, is that like a British way of saying something? I feel like I just made that up. But be intentional about doing things that bring you joy, because when you are filled up, you can pour out into others. And that's a lot of what I talk about on this show, is that I want to pour into you so that you can pour into others. It's that simple. I think that there are a lot of motivational speakers out there, and they're all pumping you up with ways to improve yourself, whether it's leadership skills or how to start a business and all that stuff. And all of that stuff is in vain to me if it doesn't point back to Jesus. And so I want to end with that. And I just want to say how important it is that our lives are an example of Him, are an example of love and grace and honor and loyalty and all these things that are make up God's character. He wants that for us too. And so I think that when we are living out our passion and our calling and our purpose, then that is what makes us come alive, and that is what attracts people to us, which then can be a great leeway or a segue or a way to talk about the gospel. And so you are so loved, you are infinitely valuable, and you have some incredible things inside of you that I just want to fire you up. I want to be the person that pokes you until you're like, fine, Lexi, I'll do the thing. Yes, girl, I want you to do the thing. So go and be His hands and feet to this broken world. Get it, girl. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. If this message has encouraged you, then please click to subscribe and share with a friend who may be inspired by the message. Also, if you have an event coming up and you're looking for a speaker, click the link below to get in touch with me.